Good morning and welcome to Ascend Church. We invite you to stand and worship with us this morning. To our church family watching online, we invite you to join us in worship right where you are as we enter into God's presence together. Everybody, I want you to put your hands. Oh, you are God, and we lift you up. We keep singing, we keep praising, and we won't stop giving all we got, because you're worthy of all glory. And oh, there is no other. You are forever, Lord. Oh, boundless love, light before the sun. Your glory, eternal and never stops. Giving all you got, and creation keeps singing. Oh, there is no other. You are forever, Lord. You up, up, up. You're giving you our love, love, love. For everything you've done, done, done. Oh, we give you all the praise. Say it loud.
We lift you up, up, up. Oh, we're giving you our love, love, love. For everything you've done, done, done. Oh, we give you all the praise.
Church, let's keep it moving.
Who could carry
As your Lord and Savior in this room. So if that'll be a shout of praise in this place. Hallelujah, what a glorious day. He called us out from sin and death. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Praise God. Praise God.
Just worship with me.
It's all about what he's done. We were just singing about a glorious day, that day, and I was thinking about the day that I gave my heart to the Lord, and that was just between me and him, and it just stirred up that praise in my heart. Let me tell you, we're going to thank him for eternity for what he's done for us. Amen. And welcome to Ascend Church today. We're going to take a moment. We have one more worship song we're going to sing, and as we do that, we're going to have the opportunity, if you need prayer this morning, maybe it's for something big like a healing or something in your home, in your marriage, in your finances, we want to ask you to come forward. Our prayer team are going to be here. We'll pray with you. But maybe you just need someone to just love on you and agree with you and pray with you today. Maybe you've had a real difficult week. Feel free to come forward. Our prayer team are going to come forward now, and we're going to sing one more worship song. And let me tell you, this is not about, it's not like a prelude to the message. It is worshiping God. This is a part of our Christian walk with the Lord, is that we worship God from our very being. Amen. And it ushers in his presence. So if you're not coming forward for prayer, just close your eyes. If you have to look at the words, open them. But just focus on worshiping him right now.
Hallelujah.
stronger than all sin. Lord, your kindness leads us to repentance to the heart, oh God. Your heart, oh God, is all I want. They say that it's impossible to ever save a sinner's soul, but my God says to the prodigal, my beloved one, you're welcome home. and I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all. Oh, won't you help me say, I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to thee.
To see you in church this morning. Won't you just take 60 seconds, just greet somebody around you. Church this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you participating in the service today. We especially want to send a shout out to those who are Ascend Church members and you're not in service today. We love you. We miss you. We hope to see you soon. We want to welcome anyone today that's visiting for the first time. If you are here for the first time today, I don't know if someone invited you or if you just happen to pop in. If you're here for the first time, we'd just like to hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So would you mind just waving your hand if you're here for the first time? God bless you. Come on, family. God bless you. How glad you're here today. Our ushers will have handed you a visitor pack. Demony, tell Demony. There you go. If you didn't get one yet, just wave your hand and the usher will get one to you. There's a few things in that pack, one of them being a guest card. You just take a moment and fill that out. Thank you. We appreciate you doing that. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that card in. Thank you so much. I want to remind you, we pass an attendance register that goes by. So when you see a clipboard coming by, that's the purpose of it. It helps Pastor Steve keep attendance, just be able to see if there's anyone who maybe needs help if they're not here and we didn't notice. So thank you for doing that and update your information. I just want to remind you, if you don't get our text messages, you can just text the word ASCEND to 313131 and we can be able to keep in touch that way. And then remind you about social media. If you're watching, you just check in on Facebook. We appreciate that. We know that you're watching. We have a far larger audience that watches online. And I think, you know, during this whole last year, people got accustomed to doing that. However, nothing beats being in church, right? And so I pick that over every day. In fact, on our way to church today, we drove past the park. And the park was packed with parents and little children. And I was like, go to church. I didn't shout it out the window, but I was like, take those children and go to the house of God. That's my thought. I love that you're watching online, but if you can, get into the house of God. But check in on Facebook. Share our live stream on Facebook. Like and share that Facebook and Instagram pages. The reason we do that, it's because it extends our reach. It means the Word of God goes further. When a message is put on Facebook and somebody shares it, there it opens up to a whole new world of people that are able to hear the Word of God right from where they're sitting, right? And then you can also download our app. If you haven't done it, go ahead and do that. There's a barcode on the seats in front of you, so thanks. Six ways quickly that you can watch. You can watch on Ascend Church website, ascendchurch.us, on our app, on YouTube, that's Ascend Church Jupiter, on Facebook, and on Sunday morning on Fox 29. So thanks for doing that. Just want to let you know our purpose. We go through all the same things because you can't believe sometimes people ask you, well, how can we watch the service? We just always want to let you know. But our four main purposes of our church is, the first one is to help people to know God. Isn't that important? I'm thankful that someone took the time to help me to know God. And I'm continuing to get to know God week by week, right? And then second of all, to find freedom in every area of our lives. Thirdly, to discover our purpose. And fourthly, to make a difference with our lives. So that's the main purposes of our church. We're so glad you're here today. And I'm looking forward to the Word of God.
Praise God.
Thank you, my dear.
Wonderful. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here this morning. Looks like there's a lot of folks not here this morning, but you are here. Say, I am here. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you are here. Amen. Amen. Well, are you ready for God's Word this morning? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. And we thank you for your Word today. Lord Jesus, you said that as we abide in your Word and as your Word abides in us, that we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. I thank you for bringing freedom into people's lives today, Lord. And I make it known that I'm trusting you to help me, to anoint me, and to speak through me today, Lord. I thank you for bringing understanding and revelation to every person who's listening. I thank you, Lord, that your word is life-changing. Thank you for changing our lives from glory to glory. And Father, we give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, wherever you may be watching from. You may be watching this on YouTube or Facebook or our website or wherever you're watching it from. We're glad that you tuned in today. I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. If you live anywhere near Jupiter, we'd love to have you come visit us. We promise we'll make you feel welcome, won't we, everybody? We've got the friendliest people in town right here. We hope to see you soon. Now, today I'm starting a new series. It's going to be for the next 3 weeks. And the series is called The Three Greatest Success Habits. And I get that title from this scripture, Joshua chapter 1, in verse number 8, the Bible says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, there's three things that verse tells us to do. It says to keep the word of God on our lips. In other words, that means to speak and say what God's word says. Secondly, is to meditate in God's word day and night. And thirdly, is to do what the word of God says. And the Bible says if we will meditate in the word of God and speak the word of God and do what it says, then we will make our way prosperous and then we will be successful. In fact, the New Living Translation says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Only then. Only when. Only when you meditate in the Word of God day by night, by day and night, and you say what God's Word says and you do what it says, only then will you make your way prosperous and successful. The Amplified Bible says, you shall deal wisely and have good success. You see, there's good success and there's bad success. There's good success and there's bad success. Some Christians are uncomfortable with preaching about being successful. Some Christians don't think that that's a subject that we should ever talk about in church. But the truth is, God wants you to be successful and God wants you to be prosperous, because if He didn't, why would He tell you how to do it? Right? Now, I think we've got to define success, because, you know, the Amplified Bible says good success, so there must be bad success. And the dictionary defines success, the word success, the dictionary said it means the attainment of wealth, position, honor, favor, or it is a favorable or desired outcome, or it is the accomplishment of a goal or a purpose. Now, godly success is not just financial. I think when people hear that word success, they just think about financial success. I'm not just talking about financial success. That is a part of it, but it's not everything. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said, "What use is it to gain all the wealth and power of this world with everything it could offer you at the cost of your own life? What could be more valuable to you than your own soul?" What could be more valuable than your own soul? You see, some people think of success as just financial success. But you could have all the money in the world, but if you die and go to hell, that's not a successful life. Amen, somebody? True success is fulfilling God's purpose and destiny for your life. That's true success. Success includes financial success, but it's not limited to that. And the first greatest success habit that God gave to Joshua was to meditate day and night, meditate daily on what the Word of God says. That's our first success habit, is to meditate daily on what God's Word says. Joshua 1 verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 15. He said to him, "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." Paul said to Timothy, give yourself to these things, to the Word of God. Meditate on these things, that your progress will be evident to everybody. Now, the word meditate, it means to think about over and over. It also means to mutter. And studies tell us that we talk to ourselves up to 30,000 times a day. We talk to ourselves. There's always something that is playing in our mind. And we need to pay attention to what we're meditating on. Because really, meditating is the same principle as worrying. Worrying is meditating on the problem. It's meditating on the wrong thing. You're using your faith in reverse. If you go through the day worried about your finances, worried about your family, worried about your future, let me tell you, because you're allowing the wrong thoughts to play, it'll cause you to be anxious, fearful, discouraged. The problem is what you're choosing to meditate on. You see, you control the doorway to your mind. When those negative thoughts come knocking, you don't have to answer the door. I mean, you can just... You, You can say, no thanks, I choose to meditate on what God says about me. Let me tell you, today more than ever, there's a lot of doom and gloom. I mean, if you watch the news for very long, you can get depressed. You look at what's going on in the economy and all kinds of things. People are panicked. If you go through the day thinking about how bad it is, you know, I wonder if I'm going to make it. What if I lose my job? What if my retirement goes down? If you dwell on that, you're going to be stressed out. Now, I like to watch the news. I like to kind of keep up to date with what's going on. But I'm not saying you should put your head in the sand, you know, but I've learned that I can't meditate on negative reports, because the more that I meditate on that, the more that it opens the door for doubt and discouragement and fear. The Bible tells us what to meditate on in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on things of good report. How many of you know most of the news you watch is bad report? Most of it's bad. Meditate on good report. The Passion Bible says, keep your thoughts continually fixed upon these things. And the Living Bible says, it says, think about all that you can praise God for and be glad about. Instead of thinking about all the things that, you know, you don't like, think about everything you can give thanks and praise God about. Fix your mind on the right things. If it's not a good report, don't dwell on it, because it's just going to poison your spirit. Instead of replaying the doom and the gloom over and over in your mind, rather replay what God says. I mean, your financial situation may look shaky, but God says in Philippians 4 verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Meditate on that. Meditate on Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. Meditate on that. Meditate on the fact that God said He can provide for you and prosper you even in the midst of a famine. In Jeremiah 17 verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and his confidence. He is like a tree planted along a riverbank with its roots reaching deep down into the water, a tree not bothered by the heat, not worried by long months of drought. His leaves always stay green. And he goes right on producing all his luscious fruit no matter what the season. You see, God said, man, doesn't matter what's going on around you. When you hope and trust and put your confidence in the Lord, you're like a tree planted by the river. God said when we tithe that he will open the windows of heaven and he'll pour out blessings that we cannot contain. And he will rebuke the devourer. Now, you've got to go through the day meditating on that. Get your mind in the right direction. The economy is not our source. God is our source. And He's not limited by anything. We may not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And our trust is not in the economy, it's not in the government. Our trust is in the Lord. David said in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, others trust in horses, but we will depend on the Lord our God. Now, in modern times, you may say some trust in their money, some trust in their job, some trust in what the economists say. But our trust is in the God who created it all. Our trust is in Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord, our provider. That's where our trust is. The Passion Bible says, Psalm 20 verse 7 from the Passion Bible says, some find their strength in their weapons and their wisdom. But my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. Our boast is in Yahweh, our God, who makes us strong and gives us victory. See, when you meditate on that, you won't have total fear. You'll have total peace. You'll know God is in control and that He'll give you total victory. Amen. It all depends what you meditate upon. You can meditate on the problems, or you can meditate on the promises of God. You can meditate on the news report, or you can meditate on God's report. Whatever you allow to play in your mind, that's going to determine what kind of life that you live. Amen. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you. All those who trust in you, you will keep him in perfect peace. All those whose thoughts are fixed on you. Notice that. All those who have their thoughts fixed on you, who trust in you, you'll keep him in perfect peace. The Passion Bible says, perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. See, there's a way to have perfect peace. How? Keep your thoughts fixed on Him. Keep your thoughts fixed on what God says in His Word. Meditate and think about that. That's how you have peace. Let me tell you, some of us would go to a new level in our life if we just pay more attention to what's playing in our mind. You can't go through the day thinking, oh, I just hope my child straightens up. What's going to happen if I get laid off? I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. I may not be able to overcome this illness that I'm facing. When you dwell on that, you're not going to have peace. Meditating on the problem doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. You got to change what you're dwelling on. All day, man, go around thinking about what God says, meditating on what He says. Psalm 34, verse 19, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Yes, I may face troubles, but the Lord delivers me out of them all. The Passion Bible says, even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. Even when bad things happen, God will not let us be defeated. Romans 8, verse 28, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Say, everything works. Say, God causes everything to work for my good. Say, God causes everything to work together for my good. The Passion Bible says we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. When you meditate on that, no matter what you face, Lord, I thank you that every detail of my life is being woven together for good. You cause all things to work together for my good. Let me tell you, when you meditate on that, you'll have a different attitude. You'll have greater peace. You'll have greater joy. You'll have greater strength. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he understood this. The Apostle Paul, in Acts 26, verse 2, he said, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. See, happiness starts in your thinking. Paul had been through a lot of disappointments. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been put in jail. He'd been mistreated. Yet he wasn't focused on his problems. No, he wasn't meditating on how bad it was or replaying all of his disappointments. Paul was the one who said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, Paul wrote, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Say, thanks be to God who gives me the victory through Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 37, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors. God, say, God has made me to be more than a conqueror. Say, even in the midst of all these things, I triumph over them all. God's made me to be more than a conqueror. You see, Paul's mind was filled with thoughts of hope and faith and victory. He was saying, it might look bad, but I've learned the secret of how to think myself happy. See, some have thought themselves depressed. They've focused on their problems so long that they've thought themselves discouraged. They've watched so many news reports that they've thought themselves afraid. The good news is, just like you can think yourself depressed and fearful and negative, you can think yourself happy and peaceful. It starts in your mind. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Can I tell you, the first place you got to rise is in your thinking. You got to put on a new attitude, man. You can't go through the day just thinking about your problems, dwelling on who hurts you. That's going to just keep you discouraged. You've got to start thinking yourself happy all through the day, man. You should be thinking in your mind, my best days are still out ahead of me. Something big is coming my way. What was meant for my harm, God's going to turn it to my, use it for my advantage. My greatest victories are still in my future. You've got to think yourself happy on purpose. You've got to think power thoughts. You're going to think, I'm strong, not I'm weak. I'm strong. Why? Because that's what God says. Ephesians 6 verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The Passion Bible says, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in you and through you. See, we got the force, man. You may watch Star Wars and they talk about, what is it, the force, right? May the force be with you. Let me tell you, stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in you and flowing through you. Amen? Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I am strong. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Amen? You got to think I'm healthy. Think I'm healthy. 1 Peter 2:24, by His wounds you are healed. Matthew 8:17, He took our sicknesses and He bore our diseases. Jeremiah 30 verse 17, I will give you back your health and heal your wounds, says the Lord. And then in Psalm 41 verse 3, when they are sick, lying upon their bed of suffering, God will restore them. He will raise them up again and restore them back to health. That's what you're going to be thinking about. That's what you're going to be meditating upon. If sickness tries to come upon you, thank you, Lord, you're restoring my health. Thank you, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. He Himself took my sickness and He bore my diseases. You've got to think on that. Amen. Think thoughts like, I'm blessed. Ephesians 1 verse 3, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The Bible says that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. The Bible says you are blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Romans 15, 24, Paul said, I know when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing. I'll come in the fullness of the blessing. So you've got to think, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I am blessed. I am favored. Psalm 5 verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor you will surround him as with a shield. Say, I am surrounded by the favor of God. See, when you wake up in the morning and those thoughts come telling you, you don't want to go to work today. You got so many problems. You got so much coming against you. You're never going to be able to overcome this. That's when you've got to kick in a high gear, man. No, this is going to be a great day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I'm excited about my future. I'm strong. I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I'm favored. Something good's going to happen to me today. God causes all things to work together for my good. You see, you've got to think like that because that's meditating on what God says. That's what that's doing. Don't ever start off your day in neutral. You can't wait to see what kind of day it's going to be. You got to decide what kind of day it's going to be. When you get up in the morning, before you check the news, before you check the weather, before you check or see how you feel for that day, you got to set your mind in the right direction. Because if you don't set your mind, the enemy will set it for you. He'll remind you how bad you got it, how many mistakes you made, all the people that are coming against you, on and on and on. That's how the enemy works. He tries to attack your mind. And very often, the way we start the day will determine what kind of day we're going to have. If you started off negative, complaining, discouraged, you're setting the tone for a lousy day. You've got to meditate on the right things because your life is going to follow your thoughts. And if you get up in the morning and you're thinking, oh, I tell you what, nothing good ever happens to me. I never get any good breaks. I'll probably never get out of debt. I don't think I'm ever going to meet the right person. Probably never going to get married. No, that's you releasing your faith for that. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 29, He put His hands over their eyes. He said, you will have what your faith expects. Say, I will have what my faith expects. The Message translation says, you will become what you believe. It happened. They saw. You will become what you believe. You will have what your faith expects. If you believe you'll never meet the right person, unfortunately, you probably won't. Your faith is working. If you believe you're going to get laid off, don't be surprised if you do. You're going to become what you believe. You're going to have what your faith expects. I'm asking you today to believe what God says about you. Believe you're blessed. Believe you're favored. Believe you're strong. Believe you're healthy. Believe you're talented. Believe you're well able. Get rid of those wrong thoughts in your mind that are contaminating your thinking and start meditating on what God says about you. David said in Psalm 145, verse 5, your magnificent splendor and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. I constantly meditate, Lord, on your magnificent miracles. That's what I meditate on. David was the one who wrote in Psalm 1, verse 1, what delight comes to the one who follows God's ways. He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share in the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of God. I am meditating on it day and night. David said, I'm meditating on the word of God day and night. It says he will be like a firm, he will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. And not just in some seasons, but in every season. That means even if the economy goes down, you'll still be bearing fruit. Even if the world goes through a pandemic, you'll still be, God will still be prospering you. When others are going under, you'll be going over. When others have total fear, you'll have total peace. When others are complaining, you'll have a song of praise. When others are surviving, you'll be thriving in your life. Amen? That's God's dream for your life. That you always have a smile. That you're always in peace. That you're always excited about your future. It doesn't mean we'll never have adversities, but in those difficult times, because your thoughts are fixed on Him, deep down you'll have a confidence, man. Everything's going to be all right. You know God, He's still on the throne. Amen? He's fighting my battles, and I'm not just going to come out of this. I'm going to come out of this better off than what I was before. Why? Because I've got my mind filled with the Word of God. I'm meditating on the Word of God. And when you're in agreement with God, let me tell you, the Creator of the universe goes to work. He'll cause His favor to shine down on you. He'll cause you to be in the right place at the right time, making sure that you succeed. If God is for you, what can stand against you? But here's the bottom line. You're going to have what your faith expects. You've got to take inventory of what's playing in your mind. If you go around thinking, oh, I'm afraid I'm never going to get well. I'm afraid my child's going to go off on the wrong path. I'm afraid I'm going to get laid off at work. Let me tell you, your faith is going to draw in the negative. That's what happened with Job. In Job 3, verse 25, Job said, the thing that I greatly feared has come on me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. You know, just like your faith can work in the right direction, it can work in the wrong direction. You've got to pay attention to what you're meditating on. Because if you fill your mind with the right thoughts, then you know what? There won't be any room for the wrong thoughts. When you constantly go around thinking about what God says about you, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm blessed, I'm favored, then when the negative thoughts come knocking, there'll be a no vacancy sign. They won't be able to get in. Are you with me? One time we flew to South Africa, and we had to stop in Johannesburg, and then fly from Johannesburg to Cape Town, about 1,000 miles from Johannesburg to Cape Town. Well, we'd flown from America, that's like 8,000-9,000 miles. It's quite a trip, and we got to Johannesburg, but our flight got delayed. Now, we had already booked our hotel in Cape Town, but our flight got delayed, so we arrived at midnight at the hotel. And we were so exhausted. But when we got to the hotel, they'd given our room away because they thought we weren't coming. And they were totally full. They didn't have one room available. And I asked if I could speak to the manager. And they called the manager and he said, I'm so sorry, but we don't have any rooms available. I can't make someone leave and give you a room. I was like, why not? No, just joking. So he said, well, what we can do is we will we're going to get you into another hotel. Let me tell you, that's how it is when you keep your mind filled with God's word, and that thought of fear comes knocking. You're not going to make it. The problem's too big. Let me in. Give me a room to stay. That thought of fear tries to get into your mind. But just like that hotel manager, you're going to say, sorry, fear, no vacancies here, no room here. You're going to have to go somewhere else. My mind is filled with thoughts of God's word. Or when that thought comes, you're never going to get well. Have you seen the medical report? You say, no vacancy. My God is restoring health unto me. When the thought comes, you've seen your best days. You say, no vacancy. My mind is filled with thoughts of faith and hope and victory, increase, abundance. I got no room for doubt, unbelief, anxiety, fear. There's no room for you. Sorry, we're full. You've got to take inventory of who's staying in your house, who's occupying the room of your mind. Because if you give fear a room, then faith gets left outside. There isn't room for both. Are you with me? If you give I can't a room, then I can is left outside. If you give a room to lack, barely get by, I'm never going to make it, then increase, promotion, abundance is left at the door. That's why the scripture says in Proverbs 4 verse 23, more than anything you guard, protect your mind, because life flows from it. More than anything you guard, guard your mind. Now we go home and we lock our doors. You know, you've got locks on your door. Some people got cameras, all kinds of security. Protect their home. I understand. Let me tell you, the thing that you've got to protect more than anything else is right here, your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. Bringing what? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I've got to take every wrong thought captive. Amen. Put it in prison. Get it out of my mind. Get rid of the wrong thoughts. Let what God says about you have a permanent home in your mind. Meditate on what God says. Think day and night about what God says. You're going to think of it like this. When you go to bed at night, you lock the doors to your house. You don't want strangers coming in. That's where you live. You know, that's your home. You need to be the same way about your mind. Amen. That's where I live. This is my future. This is controlling my life. I'm not going to just let any thought come in. I'm going to guard the doorway to my mind. I'm only going to give a room to thoughts of hope and faith and victory. Amen. I heard someone put it like this. If you owned an apartment complex and you rented out 80% of your apartments to drug dealers, thieves, criminals, you know, and the other 20% you rented out to normal law-abiding citizens. After a few months, what would happen is the drug dealers and the thieves would run off all the normal people. And it's the same way in our mind, in our thoughts. If you go around thinking about how bad it is, and dwelling on the problems and all that you don't have and how tough your future's going to be, then those negative thoughts are going to run off any positive thoughts. You've got to quit renting out space in your mind to your problems. Are you with me? Quit renting out valuable space to self-pity. Don't rent it out to thoughts like can't do it. Never going to happen. Some of you need to serve an eviction notice to those negative thoughts. You've occupied my rooms long enough. I got a new renter coming in. My new renter is faith, joy, peace, victory. I'm serving you eviction notice in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you deny the negative report and act like they don't exist. I'm just simply saying don't dwell on it. Don't let it consume you. To me, that's all you think about. That's all you talk about. Learn to downplay it. One time in the Bible, Jesus was on his way to pray for a little girl who was very sick. She was at the point of death, but Jesus kept on getting delayed. And finally, some people came from the little girl's house, and they told the little girl's father, tell Jesus he doesn't need to come anymore because it's too late. Your daughter already died. And the Bible says in Mark 5, verse 36, overhearing, but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, do not be in fear, just keep on believing. Jesus overheard what they said, but he ignored it. In fact, the Passion Bible says Jesus refused to listen to what they were told. You see, he heard the negative report, but he didn't let it take root. He didn't meditate upon it. He didn't get discouraged by what they said. He didn't turn around and go back home. He knew people don't have the final say. God has the final say. And let me tell you, if you're going to stay in faith, you've got to learn to ignore a negative report. You've got to learn to ignore what somebody said about you. Can you say amen? You've got to ignore even what your own thoughts are telling you. You may hear it, but you've got to do like Jesus and choose not to dwell on it. You've got to ignore it. When my kids were younger, they're all grown up now, but when they were younger and one of their friends was talking too much and they didn't want to hear what they were saying, they would put up their arm and say, talk to the hand. Remember those days? That meant you talking, but I'm not listening. Talk to the hand. That's what we need to do. When negative thoughts come to our mind, in your imagination, you need to put up your arm and say, talk to the hand. You talking, devil, but I ain't listening to you. You're trying to rent a room, but there's no vacancies here. Amen. One time I was watching a football game. It was the playoffs. I'm not a big football fan, but I do watch the Super Bowl. And it wasn't the Super Bowl, but it was the playoff towards it. And there were only a few seconds left in the game. The visiting team were down by 2 points. They were about to attempt a field goal. And if they did, if they made the goal, they'd win the game. So the kicker was on the field. He was lining up to take the kick. He was getting ready for the biggest kick of his life. The opposing fans were hollering at him. They were trying to distract him. And just as he was about to kick, the other team called the timeout. They wanted to give the fans some more time to intimidate him, to shout at him. And they started playing on the big screens. All the times the kicker had missed the ball in the past. Even years ago, they replayed all his failures. And every time he missed, the crowd went crazy cheering against him. He's got 80,000 people screaming against him. And he kicked that ball right through the uprights and won the game. And afterwards, a news reporter asked him, how did you handle the pressure with all those thousands of people screaming against you? How did you handle it? How did you handle it? He replied. He said, it's funny. I didn't hear anyone screaming. I just kept telling myself, you can do this. You've got what it takes. You can do this. You've got what it takes. You can do this. I ignored what they were saying. I just kept telling myself, you got what it takes. The reporter said, what about on the big screens? They were replaying all your failures in the past. He said, yeah, I saw that, but I didn't pay attention. I just ignored it. Let me tell you, in life, there are going to be times where it feels like every voice is telling you, you can't do it. It's not going to work out. You're never going to overcome this problem. It may be physical voices. It may be people around you, critics and naysayers, or it may just be voices in your own mind, thoughts trying to discourage you. Don't be surprised if the enemy replays your failures of the past. You got to do like that young kicker. You may hear it, but you got to choose to ignore it. You got to remember people don't determine your destiny. God is the one who determines your destiny. And if you'll get in agreement with God and not let those distractions put you or pull you off course, God will get you to where He wants you to be. Amen? Let me tell you, the first place that you lose the victory is in your own thinking. It may feel like you've got 80,000 voices screaming against you, telling you it's never going to work out. This problem is just too big. You've got to put your hand up, tell those negative voices, talk to the hand. They want to rent a room in your mind. You've got to show them the no vacancy sign. Because if you keep your thoughts fixed on what God says, you will overcome those obstacles. You will accomplish your dream. That's what it says. Amen. That's what the Bible says in Joshua 1 verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and then you will be successful. The key is what's going on in your thought life. What are you meditating upon? One of the greatest success habits is meditating daily upon what the Word of God says Amen. And that means you need to read the Bible every day. How do you meditate on the Word of God if you never read the Bible? That's why some people got a hard time meditating on the Word of God, because they never read it. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. Your starting place is start reading the Bible and then think about it. Make a decision. You're going to keep your thoughts fixed on what God says. On purpose, you're going to think power thoughts. I'm strong. I'm talented, creative. I'm favored. I'm blessed. You're going to become what you believe. You're going to have what your faith expects. Amen. Every day you got to set your mind in the right direction. Don't meditate on your problems. Meditate on the promises. Learn to think yourself happy. Think yourself peaceful. Think yourself victorious. Victory starts in your thinking. Can you say amen? If you'll develop this habit of meditating on what God says, and you know, today, the world we live in, there's many ways you can meditate on what God says. You start out by reading the Bible. And you think about it throughout the day. But you can listen to preaching on podcasts. You can watch any preacher you want just about on YouTube. You listen to some, you read books. You this is how you keep your mind focused and meditate on what God, by thinking about it. Instead of worrying about your problems, you remind yourself all the time what God says. Amen. And if you'll do this, let me tell you what will happen. You're going to have perfect peace. You're going to always be in blossom. You're going to prosper. You're going to have good success in your life. That's what God promised. I declare you're going to overcome every obstacle. You're going to defeat every enemy. You're going to become everything God created you to be in the name of Jesus. If you receive it today, give the Lord some praise. If you receive this, if you got something out of this today, three ways. Three greatest success habits in your life. If you want to become everything God destined you to be, if you want to be successful in your life, I'm not just talking about financial. I'm talking spirit, soul, body, emotionally, financially, in every way. Then there's three keys that God gave to Joshua. Meditate on God's word day and night. Keep God's word on your lips. Say what it says. And thirdly, do what it says. I'm going to keep driving that home, man. Meditate on the Word of God. Say, I've got to meditate on the Word of God. Got to always keep it in my mouth and do what it says. Those three things. Meditate on the Word of God. Say what God's Word says and do what God's Word says. And let me tell you, you will be prosperous. You will be successful in every area of your life, because the Word of God gives us the answers and direction for every single part of our life. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word is what gives us victory. Jesus, you said that if we abide in your word and your word abides in us, that we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. Father, today I thank you that it is your will. It's your will, Lord, that we be victorious. It's your will that we be successful. It's your will that we prosper. And Lord, you said that if we will meditate in your word day and night and keep your word on our lips and do what your word says, that we will be successful and we will prosper. And I thank you, Father, for confirming your word. I thank you, Lord. I give you thanks and praise for what you're doing in our lives, in this church, in the life of every person. I thank you, Lord, for bringing us victory. We give you alone the praise. We give you alone the glory. We give you alone the honor. In the name of Jesus. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment, if you would. While eyes are closed, while heads are bowed, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we never close a service at Ascend Church without giving people an opportunity to make sure that all is right, that all is well between you and God. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt that if you died today, that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God, but I'm not certain. I'm not absolutely sure. Let me tell you, the good news is you can be sure. You can walk out of this place today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. You can know for sure when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me too. Include me in that prayer. I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. I want to be sure that when I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to know that God is with me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, would you just lift your hand up high? Just raise your hand up. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, those who lifted your hand, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. In fact, church, can we all, everybody say this prayer? The scripture says in Romans 10, in verse number 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say that with me today. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, God, that you sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth, to take my sin, to die in my place. I believe, Jesus, you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. You are the Son of God, and you are the Savior. And I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. Say this. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I'm born again. Heaven is my home. God, you're my very own Father. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Good preaching.
Thank you, Gillian.
Good preaching. Good preaching. Get something out of that? Man, I tell you what, you know, sometimes you think, I wish life would be easier. Like you're just waiting for everything to be going right and then you'll be okay. But you got to, in the hardest times, I mean, I've had some days this week where I find myself, God, I'm feeling down. And then I think about it, I'm not purposely meditating on the Word of God. I'm kind of just letting the circumstances weigh down on me, right? And you got to purposely turn it. So that's good preaching. That'll lift you right out of any kind of trouble or depression. Amen. The Lord. Well, this is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the house of God. And, you know, it's a big part of our Christian life. And we always turn to what does the Word of God say? Because when we listen to what the Word of God says, it'll build faith in your heart. It'll tell you exactly what God thinks and what He expects. And so I'm going to read two verses from Proverbs, Proverbs 11. It says, there is one who generously scatters abroad, and yet he increases all the more. And there is the one who withholds what is justly due, but that results in want and poverty. The generous man is a source of blessing, and he shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity that he has sown. Now, when this scripture kept coming to me this week, and I think about, because it says there's one who scatters, he's generous, and there's a result that comes from it. And there's one who withholds more than what is justly due. And I thought about that word withhold. There's a couple of reasons why people would withhold from giving to the Lord. There's people, some people withhold, they don't tithe. So there's a couple of reasons, three main reasons why people withhold. The first one is a lack of knowledge. You know, if you grow up just in going to, a traditional church or what have you, you may get kind of the thought that if I'll just slip a couple of dollars into the offering plate and, that's good enough and God knows my heart and, just that's a lack of knowledge of what the Word of God says. It's very interesting that because you've got to have an understanding of the gospel. And I think in this day and age, Christians are in danger of thinking that everything is about them. Right? We can be in danger of thinking the gospel is all about what is God going to do for me. Let me tell you, God's going to do a lot for you, but let me tell you, the gospel is not all about what is God going to do for me. It's about It's a giving of our lives. You read the book of Acts again. Have a look how much those people gave. They gave their lives eventually. So I think there's a mindset where it's like, even in coming to church, sometimes people are like, well, let me go and see something good. Give me something good that'll help me through my week. That's not the whole thing about Christianity, right? And so it's the same when it comes to offering. So first of all, the reason I'm getting off on a tangent, but the first one reason we would withhold is just lack of knowledge, knowing what the Bible says and knowing what's expected of us. Second of all, fear. Let me tell you, I know that fear is the biggest reason why people withhold tithing or giving. It's fear of what if I tithe and I don't have enough at the end of the day, right? It's not out of any malice. It's out of just fear. What if I don't have enough? And that's why they don't do it. And yet, when we meditate on the Word of God, that's why we have to, because we've got to build our faith in this area. And that's why we don't skim over the subject of finances. You can't skim over it in church. You've got to know what the Word of God says. Because the more you know, the more you can have faith to believe God in that area of your life. Amen? And so, do we believe what God says or not? If we have fear, it means we don't really believe what He says. And then another reason people would withhold, and I won't get onto this because it's not applicable in this church, but just sometimes people are just plain old stingy, right? So another translation of that verse actually says that. But anyway, there's two negative results that come from withholding. The first one is that we suffer. Let me tell you, you will never have enough if we withhold from God. Sometimes people say, I don't know why I don't have enough. Let me tell you, you'll never have enough if you don't do what God says. That they are tied hand in hand. And everything I'm saying to you is not to get anything from you. It's to get an understanding of the Word of God, because if we have financial difficulty and we're withholding from God, they are tied hand in hand. Amen? And so the Bible says, that verse says, there is one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want and poverty. So that's one of the reasons, that one of the results of withholding. The second, it affects you. And the second one is that it affects your church. Amen? It affects your church. Because the last verse that I'll read, it says, God says in Malachi, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And He says, in tithes and offerings. He says, you have withheld. Isn't that interesting? I know this isn't a rah-rah, but we need to hear it. You have withheld. You cursed with a curse because you are robbing me, this whole nation. Bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. So there's a reason. That's one of the things. God says one of the reasons for giving is that there may be food in my house. And when you withhold, then there's not enough food in my house. So that's the other result of withholding, right? And so He says, I will open, test me. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there's not even room enough to receive. And so I just really had that on my heart today, because withholding the tithe negatively impacts the church. Now, we've seen over a period of time, we have regular tithers and givers who've been tithe and give, and then for periods of time, people will just not tithe or give. And, you know, you only have to have 10 people do that, and then it puts you in a predicament, right? Because there's not enough food in God's house. And so I wanted to encourage you with the Word of God to trust Him. I want to encourage you to not withhold from the Lord, but to put your faith, if it means having to go back and meditate on the Word of God and say, Father, I need to build my faith in this area because I'm having a hard time tithing. I've got to believe You that when I tithe, You will pour out blessing upon my life. Amen. And so I encourage you today. I encourage you to, and we thank you for your faithfulness. And I encourage you, if you've withheld it all, go ahead and give, because it's vitally important to the church as well. Amen. Are you coming up? It would appear that way. I'm very observant.
Nothing gets by you. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to say, you know, we so appreciate our faithful, consistent givers and tithers. You know, we went through this whole pandemic where churches around the world were closed down.
More than a year, many of them.
Some of them for a year.
More.
Many of them. Yeah. In fact, in South Africa right now, they still aren't able to gather. And we went through all of that. We never missed a Sunday. And we were never late on one mortgage payment in the last 12 months. And that was a pretty much of a miracle. It really was. Because even though we kept having church every Sunday, over half the people weren't attending.
Right.
Now, they were watching online, thank God. But, you know, a lot of people stopped coming. Now, it's come back a lot. There's still some people not coming, but it's come back a lot. But we're just so thankful. It was because of our faithful, consistent givers and tithers that we were able to pay to not even be late one time. And now it came through this whole pandemic. And last Sunday, we were supposed to pay the mortgage for June, and we weren't able to. We didn't have enough to pay the mortgage for June. So right now, we still haven't paid it. And
so
the owner of the building, not too happy. We're a week late. And you say, Pastor Steve, well, why is that? Because a number of people stopped giving. A number of people stopped tithing.
Yeah.
But we still got to pay the mortgage first of every month. They don't care. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter that we went a whole year and never were even late one time. That doesn't even matter. So I want to say thank you to our faithful givers. And I want to ask you also, if you're able to do something a little extra today or this week, we trust in God, aren't we? Our job, what we do is we tell you what God's Word says, and then we trust the Lord. We tell you this is what God's Word says. We teach about what the Scriptures say, and then we trust God. And then we go home and we believe God the whole week, and everyone doesn't realize, and they just think, oh, Pastor Steve, it must be so nice. You only have to work one day a week. It must be so wonderful. You just preach, you know, once a week, and you live this wonderful life. Let me tell you, we fight the fight of faith every single day of our life. We have spiritual attack and warfare coming against us like you'll never know unless you're a pastor. You'll never know what it's like to have the forces of hell come against you and then still have people in your church come against you. I thank God for the folks who stand with us, believe with us, pray with us, realize this is not Pastor Steve's church. This is our church, and take ownership, and I'm going to do my part. I want to thank everyone who's been so faithful, everyone who's been so consistent. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't still be here. And we trust God no matter what, man. He is El Shaddai. He is the God who is more than enough. He is the God who is more than able. Amen. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that this is your church. You said you will build your church. You said the gates of hell won't prevail against us. And we thank you. You're the God who supplies all our needs. I thank you, Lord. You promised that when we tithe, you'd open the windows of heaven and you'd pour blessing. I thank you for blessing every tither. I thank you for bringing supernatural increase, Lord, to every giver. I thank you, Lord, for confirming and showing yourself true to your word. You're faithful to your promises. Thank you for blessing your people, Lord, pouring out increase, rebuking the devourer in the name of Jesus. Do you agree with that? So listen, this Sunday is the last Sunday I'm on TV. I stopped the TV program because I cannot spend $5,800 a month on television if we're late on our mortgage payment. So I stopped the television. I trust we'll go back on there sometime. I believe we'll be back on there, but I'm not going to put this building in any kind of jeopardy. And so I cancel television. We'll promote. We'll do our video on Facebook, YouTube. There's many places you can watch it. Plus, we haven't had a great result from the TV show, so I'm taking a break on that, okay? Thank you for your support and understanding, everybody. Praise the Lord. Come on, stand up with us today. No, hold on, hold on. Don't go yet. Hold on. Hold on. We didn't mention. Thank you. Did they pass the offering buckets? There's two things. Pass the offering buckets. We didn't finish yet. It's only 11:30. I've got to mention to you the fish fry on the 27th. Is that the 27th? The 27th, we're having our great fish fry, and they're catering for 300 people. It's going to be great. We're going to have fresh fish. Well, we're going to set up out here. We're going to have tents and tables. And if you have a tent you can bring or tables, bring it. We're going to set up in the parking lot. And they're catering for up to 300 people right after church on Sunday the 27th. Then also, do we have the slide for the youth? We're going to have we're starting a youth ministry. We've got a lot of young people that we need to get. And so I think we're going to go bowling. And we're looking at Friday, June 25th, I believe. We're looking at going bowling. And I want to ask you, if you're interested in going to the youth evening, sign up in the lobby out there. We've got sign-up sheets. And for the fish fry, please, we're asking you to bring a side. Go into the lobby, sign up what side you'll bring for the fish fry. Two things. Sign up for the fish fry,
fish
what
fry?
You're going to bring.
Yes.
And the second one, for the youth.
For the youth.
If you want your child to come to the bowling,
correct.
How much is the bowling?
The bowling is going to be for an hour and a half, $24 for food, games.
That
arcade.
Gives them games, bowling, food, drinks, everything, $24,
plus
right?
Plus an extra trip back to the bowling alley after, like on their own, whenever they want to.
So
go.
They've got to sign up in the lobby for that.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We want to thank all of our servant leaders who served in God's house today. We appreciate you. Won't you give a big hand of applause to our kids' church teachers and the media and the ushers and the greeters and everyone who served today, the worship team. Come on, as we go, let's give God praise as we go today.
To you.
To you.
Let it.